Hey, what's up, folks? Welcome to The Boss's Desk, where we look out for you, giving you the best in geek news and movie reviews. I'm your host for the day, the Big Boss, and I'm here with my comrade-at-arms, the Professor. What's up, man?
What's going on, brother? What's happening?
Nothing much, man. Just coming off a nice weekend. Got a couple more Black Panther viewings in, so pretty good life. Oh, man. Nice. I'm thoroughly enjoying this movie, and like every time I watch it, I get like a little something different. So I catch something different that I didn't catch before, and that's always good.
I mean, I would hope so. You've seen it six times now, seven times now.
It's five times. I bought a ticket today, but I didn't go. So,
oh no,
I've bought seven tickets though.
Oh man, I don't know how you do it. I've never tried to go and see something more than three times.
It's getting to the point now, man, where I'm starting to learn lines. So I'm gonna be quoting Black Panther for a long time.
I hear you. That's funny.
Oh man. Well, let's go ahead and dive right in. We got a couple of items and movie news and what have you that we want to go through today. Right. We'll just list a couple things. We don't have anything like a special item today that we normally do. Normally we do like a fan cast. I figure because we did the big review last week, we'll just run through some news items and then we'll just end it on that good note and pick it up next week. Probably have a nice little event for you. I got a couple of ideas rolling around in the head, so we'll see if we bring those up.
Sounds like a plan. Let me do a real quick special kind of shout out before we get started. Look, I know he's never going to hear it, but you know, I feel the need, being such a big fan, to give a big get well soon to Mr. Kevin Smith.
Yes, yes.
Anybody who listens, if you haven't seen, Kevin Smith had a massive, massive heart attack, they said, over the weekend after filming his fourth special. He was filming two that night. He canceled the second show. They're saying he's okay now. He's good. He's in good spirits. He's doing well. But it was a close one. You know, the story I read said he had 100% blockage of an artery that the doctor told him is nicknamed the Widowmaker.
Because
usually people who get that don't make it. So
yeah,
Go ahead, sorry.
No, I was going to say that's crazy, man. That's heavy news, man. So
yeah, that would have been a big, big time loss to me personally. I'm a big, big Kevin Smith fan. So like I said, no, he's never going to hear it, but get well soon, Mr. Smith. We need you, sir. We miss you.
Definitely. Hope to see him as director creds on a couple more episodes of Flash too.
Yeah, buddy.
Because his are always rewarding. Man.
His are always good. His are always good. It's the only Supergirls that I'll actually watch.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, let's go ahead and dive in it then. All right, so let's see what's up here today. So let's first talk about the weekend box office. You know, this is how we normally do it. So nothing really surprising here. Black Panther topping it out. Top of the line right there, bringing out another $108 million to domestic sales. Man, it's only down 46%, man. That's crazy.
Just scared. It's yeah. Making so much money.
Yeah. I got people that I know that have seen it multiple times. They're trying to go see it again. I got people who haven't seen it even the first time, but are anxious to see it just based off of the word of mouth, but they couldn't get in the first weekend. So
it's funny. I had dinner. My brother-in-law's birthday was over the weekend. My family had dinner. My brother was saying that he couldn't get tickets the opening weekend. He couldn't get tickets this past weekend. And I was like, how is it possible to not get tickets in theater these days? They're so huge. They struggle with movies so many times. But it's still selling out different places.
Man. Yeah, and it's nice to hear that everybody's still kind of hungry for it. Like, even though people couldn't get tickets the first round, they're still trying to figure out how to get tickets. Like, I can tell you the couple of showings that I went to, well, not couple, but the showings.
The multiple showings that you went to.
I know, right? So the showings that I went to last week, I put my ticket order in early in the day, so it seemed like it was fairly empty, and I was kind of expecting it to be empty. I get there for the actual showing, and the theater is packed, and this is every showing that I've gone to.
Yes.
So it hasn't been a light showing yet, so I wouldn't be surprised if, so I'm assuming like last week, based off of where they got based off of where they got from the first weekend and then all the showings from the week, the week alone, I think, brought in 100 mil. So now we're getting a full 5-day week where they could possibly bring in more than 100 mil in another weekend where we could see somewhere near this same amount. That's going to be crazy, man.
Yeah, it's just shattering records left and right at this point.
Yeah, yeah. This is some great news. So I'm looking forward to seeing what happens. I'm really interested to see how this performs in the Asian markets because it hasn't been released yet. It's been released in South Korea. South Korea brought in 25 mil, which is pretty good for opening weekend. And then you still got Japan, you still got China. And they normally bring for Marvel movies. They're normally bringing in 100 mil. Opening weekend, if not, I think that's entire life gross for Marvel movies, but we'll see, man. I'm looking forward to this movie shattering some more records, man.
It looks like it's gonna do it too.
Yeah,
said that way.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's bad news for the rest of the movies that came out last week. Game Night though had a solid opening, man. Solid opening. 16 mil is not a slouch for a comedy movie.
Especially not going up against a juggernaut like that.
Yeah, yeah. So I've been hearing a lot of good things about Game Night. I'm definitely trying to check it out. Peter Rabbit still holding on to one of the top three spots, bringing in 12 mil. Shocking news, Annihilation did not get up in that top. I thought Annihilation would have knocked out Peter Rabbit, but it looks like it did not. But I'm interested to see how that one goes because I always like a good sci-fi thriller movie. Kind of feels like Aliens, so.
Okay. Oh, that's the one with
Natalie Portman.
Natalie Portman, right.
Yeah.
That looked kind of interesting. So.
Yeah, so.
But, you know, it's tough to beat kids' movies, too, though. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
They're going to make money every time they come out, just because it's like, you know, take the kids to theaters, they'll shut up for a couple hours. So, kids' movies are always going to do well. And I know this weekend it'll be interesting to see, because I know Death Wish comes out this weekend.
So, yeah, yeah.
Curious to see how that's going to go up against, you know, Game Night on its second week or Black Panther on its third week. You know, we'll see kind of how that'll do. That'll be interesting.
Yeah, that'll be interesting because it's like, yeah, it's not a big list of movies that are coming out this week, but, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they perform just based off of the star power. So
yeah, well, it's a Bruce Willis action flick. Even though it's a remake of an old one, it's still a Bruce Willis action flick, and they did it very well.
Yeah, yeah. So hopefully we'll see some shakeups next weekend. We'll see.
We just might.
All right, so let's dive right into the geek news. We got some TV news for you guys. Punisher season 2 casting news. We got 3 new characters that'll be coming to Punisher season 2 in the form of Josh Stewart, Floriana Lima, and Georgia Wingham. And Josh Stewart, if you know him, he's currently a character in the TV show Shooter. See this guy a lot. He has a very recognizable face. I see him in a lot of TV stuff. And he always plays these kind of like tragic, tortured characters. Yeah. And he has that face. He does have that face. So he's going to be playing a character called John Pilgrim, and he's a man whose calm exterior belies a ruthless interior. Despite having left behind a life of violence, circumstances will force him to use his old skills to bring him into Frank Castle's world. Sounds like Liam Neeson to me.
Kinda.
So I'm definitely interested to see what he brings to Punisher season 2. And Floriana Lima, you guys will recognize her. She's in Supergirl. Was in Supergirl. She actually played Alex Danvers' girlfriend at the time that she was on the show. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she was a police officer with the National City Police Department. Yeah, so she was on there for a while. She was playing in their like extraterrestrial department. So she'll be on here. She'll be playing Krista Dumont. She's a smart and compassionate and driven psychotherapist for military veterans. So we can only imagine the type of conversations that she's going to be having with Frank Castle in this season. Like, it's going to be, I think it's going to have some, there's going to be some good moments, some good character exploration. And I think this is where we're going to get most of our comedic moments.
Potentially. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Last character up is Georgia Wingham, and she'll be playing Amy Bendix, and she's going to be a street smart grifter with a mysterious past. So I'm sure she's going to be like, she's going to serve as like a kind of like a support, or like, I want to say like a partner character to Frank Castle. Like she's going to be the, she's going to play like an annoying little sister type character. I feel it.
I would guess somebody he saves on the street. You know, smart type grifter, meaning she's, you know, con artist kind of thing.
Right.
So she's going to get caught ripping somebody off, and he's going to be wandering by, and he's going to save her from them. And that's how she's going to end up in his world and kind of stay there for a while. That's how I would imagine that from that description. That's how I think that'll happen somewhere. Or she tries to rip him off, and that's how she ends up.
I could definitely see that.
I could see that too. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So. Yeah, so, I mean, Punisher Season 2 is looking, shaping up to be an interesting season. It's going to definitely be some character exploration there, which I really liked about the original, the first season. First season was just really well done as far as storytelling, character development. Like, we really got a solid piece of storytelling with Punisher Season 1, so.
It's funny, because I just literally, like, 3 hours ago, just finished watching through Season 1 again.
Nice.
I started over the weekend. I was watching a little bit here and there, and I wasn't feeling so well today, so I didn't go to work. So
yeah,
I was watching it today, and it just was such a good show.
It really was.
He's so perfect as that character. I mean, if they don't at some point bring him off Netflix and put him in one of the movies, they're just making a tremendous mistake.
Yeah.
It's an awesome addition.
Definitely.
Of all the Netflix characters, he's the one who I think you could do it tomorrow and it wouldn't skip a beat. Of course, he's also the one who's done more mainstream movies than I think the rest of them have.
Right.
But I would pick him, and then I would pick Charlie Cox right behind him to go in as Daredevil. But
yep.
He could easily put the Punisher in a movie right now and it wouldn't even skip a beat. He's just that good in that show.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, you know, everybody that he's worked with always sings John Bernthal's praises. So, you know, I could just see that happening, you know, so. Yeah, but you know what I found interesting about this news is that they went through and they showed some of the people that'll be returning for Season 2. And what's his name? Is it Bobby or Billy Russo? Is it Billy Russo?
The bad guy?
Yeah, the bad guy. He's coming back next season. He's casted in the next season. So I'd be interested to see what happens with him.
Well, he's pretty much going to become, I mean, it's a giveaway from the end of the first season, which, you know, I hope people have seen by now. He's going to be Jigsaw. That's who he's going to be, the Jigsaw character from the comics. Because that's what happens to his face at the end of the first season. So, yeah, I think that's, he's probably going to be the main antagonist, I guess, the main bad guy for the season as Jigsaw, I imagine. Or at least part of the season.
Right,
he's going to show up as that particular.
Yeah, hopefully they don't give him the Cottonmouth treatment, because I really like Cottonmouth as a villain, and it sucked to kind of lose him in Luke Cage. So
he was so good. It's a crime that they got rid of him in that show. He was so good as that character.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So let's talk about some CW TV. It looks like what we're getting is news that CW is extending to Sunday nights to show more of its original shows. So you know, all the Jane the Virgin type shows, and I know that there's like a military show on there right now. I can't remember what it's called. And you got Supernatural, and you got what else do they got on iZombie? They're gonna be divvying those out and spreading them out more throughout the week, so that you can get more shows, more renewed seasons, instead of losing shows the way that CW kind of has. So it'll be interesting to see how that unfolds.
Yeah, you know, I don't know that I understand that. You know, Sunday nights are tough nights for TV to begin with.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially depending on the time of year. Like, you know, you try to go Sunday nights from September through January, and you're screwed because it's Sunday night football. Everybody's going to be watching football on Sunday.
Right, right.
You know, and, you know, the other times of the year, the big shows kick back in. HBO with Game of Thrones or Westworld or, you know, all the big shows, Ash vs. Evil Dead, Walking Dead, you know, any of those shows, they're all Sunday night. Like, and those, that's what everybody's watching. So to decide to move some of these shows to Sunday nights is kind of a head scratcher.
Yeah.
Because depending on what time you're planning on playing these, they're not going to get watched. The majority of people are going to be watching.
Yeah.
Like you said, the Game of Thrones, the Walking Dead, stuff like that. So I'm not quite sure I understand that move, but
yeah.
I don't run a TV station, so I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, it's an interesting move, I got to say, for on CW's part. You know, I know we talked about it a little bit before we started the show that you know, CW kind of had they started implementing this rule that they can only show 4 superhero shows a week. So that's why they've stacked Legends and Supergirl together so that they can showcase all these shows but not showcase them all in the same week type of deal. Right. But and we were also talking about like how CW has kind of they don't have the best numbers as far as ratings is concerned compared to the other networks, what they can pull on a regular night. Right. But CW has consistent ratings. They have a fan following. The people that watch these shows are fans of the shows, and they stick with these shows regardless. So I think it sounds like they're trying to capitalize on that and see what they can get for Sundays. I would not be surprised if they're grossly disappointed by what happens on Sundays. Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, like we said, all those heavy hitter shows that come on Sundays – they're going to be wrestling with these shows. Now, if they're saying, I heard them mention somewhere that what they're going to do is they're going to spread to Sunday, but they're not, what they're going to do is the shows are not going to go past 9 o'clock. That may be a smarter decision on their part because I know most of these shows start airing at 9 and 10, but right. there are going to be some shows that air at 8. So I don't know. It's a risk. It's a gamble. CW is definitely trying to, you know, test their fan pool to see what's going on. But it'll be interesting to see what kind of results this pulls from them.
Yeah, I don't know what the idea behind it is, obviously, but you would have to start showing everything before 9 o'clock because once 9 right. o'clock hits, you know, people stop watching regular TV and they go to the HBOs and the Showtimes for the big shows that are coming out. And play during that time, so you know everything else pretty much gets DVR'd. Like, look, when it's game, and now there's only one more season, but when Game of Thrones is on, everything else is DVR'd. People watch Game of Thrones live; it's just what they do.
Yeah, because you're not trying to come in Monday morning and somebody spoil something for
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
Social media is ruthless. So.
Oh yeah. So I mean, you never know. I mean, I guess it also depends on the shows that they're moving, what kind of fan base they have for those shows that they're hoping is going to follow them. You hope it works out for them, but it's pretty risky, I think. So we'll see.
Yeah, definitely. Furthermore, some CW news. We got the lineup. Most of the lineup is returning. The superhero lineup is returning this week. Even some of the standard shows are returning this week. I know iZombie's airing this week. We got Flash coming back. Black Lightning. We got Arrow. Most of their core shows are coming off. They just came off of a break because of the Winter Olympics. So we get most of those shows back this week, which I'm really excited for because we got Legends coming on tonight. You know, Wally's going to be on there, you know, because we got that little plug from him last week. So looking forward to him being a regular cast member on this show. And I think it's perfect for him to be on here. I want to see him on here. I want to see him flourish. And I feel like he was kind of getting pushed to the background in Flash. So it's great that he's going to be taking more of a forefront role, and the way that we saw him in the last episode, like, you know, we found him meditating, like he's on this kind of like self-exploration journey. So I'd be interested to see what kind of character, what temperament he brings to the team, because it'll be nice to see him and Mick kind of have that their hot cold type of moment. So it'll be interesting to see, especially when it airs tonight. So yeah.
I mean, look, there's no choice as far as him kind of being the background character on The Flash, because the show is called The Flash. You have to, you know, Barry Allen, The Flash has got to be your main guy as far as your superhero and your speedster. So when you start adding too many speedsters to the show, stuff starts getting lost. And, you know, he's not a villain, so he can't really be a main player week in and week out, because it's just, he's going to be always overshadowed by, you know, there was a short period of time where his thing was actually that he was faster than Barry, you know, and then Barry comes back, I think, after his stint in the Speed Force, and that changed drastically.
Right.
You know, so, you know, unfortunately, there really isn't a whole lot for him to do anymore. They have the girlfriend break up with him because she's in another world, you know, and she breaks up with him, and then there's really nothing left for him. So, I think it makes perfect sense to have him join as a team on Legends and add that character to them. And it'll be good because the kid's pretty good at it. The kid, literally Kid Flash. The kid's pretty good at it.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be a nice, you know, they lost the Firestorm, so they lost two characters essentially on the show. So
right.
I think it's a strong addition to bring him in to fill that in. So
yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah. I think the great part about that is they kind of been setting this up. When we got reintroduced to Wally at the season premiere of Flash, we saw him working with or at least season premiere of, was it of Flash or was it of Legends of Tomorrow? Because we saw Steel and Kid Flash working together. So they kind of set up the framework for this, for him to be.
I was going to say, let me interrupt you, but that might have even been during the crossover.
The crossover?
Started working together. I think it might have been. I was just saying that. There might have been a brief spot in the crossover where they were working together.
Right, right. Yeah, so, you know, I mean, it's they've been kind of setting up, sowing the seeds for this. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it and to see where the journey goes. Because apparently Jesse Quick's supposed to be making a guest appearance on Legends. So that's going to be a awkward moment.
I was going to say, that should be a little awkward.
Yeah. So, yeah, that'll be fun to see. Especially if they're doing, since Legends has a time element, we don't even know what part in time they're going to be meeting her.
Right.
I'm assuming it's going to be after the breakup, but it could be before she knows that they're breaking up. So who knows? So, but yeah, as far as Arrow coming back, we get Roy Harper finally coming back to the show. Yes. As well, not as Red Arrow, but just as Roy Harper. But we just get to see him again. That's going to be great because I had no idea where he went. So,
yeah, they really never explained it too much. Just that he left because he thought it was best for him to leave, or I forget exactly what it was.
But, yeah,
that's a shame. He's not going to come back as Arsenal, but you know, I'm okay with him coming back to the show because I always kind of liked him when he was on the show.
Yeah, yeah. So it should be interesting to see how that story unfolds. Maybe they'll keep him around. I don't know, but because I believe he went to Bloodhaven. I believe he went to Bloodhaven. He left Star City and went to Bloodhaven.
Sounds right. I don't
remember. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see that. And that's coming out this week. And then, you know, when the Flash returns, we got Iris going super on the Flash. She got a little suit and everything. We've seen the pictures of her in the suit. So who knows? Like, have they set it up that she's going to be a speedster, or have they give? I don't think they've given us any details on her abilities in the show. So that should be interesting.
The Instagram post that they put up of her in the suit said something about her moving fast or something. So it really kind of led it to believe that it was a speedster thing.
Yeah.
But whatever it was that they had said really led you to believe that, yeah, she's coming as a speedster, which is kind of like, all right, look, we've already had five or six different speedsters. I think we figured out, what, seven, maybe?
Yeah.
So maybe, you know, not, yeah, well, she will have to speed up to save Central City. So they're clearly making it out like she's going to be a speedster.
Yeah. Now this would be something interesting, because remember the girl, you remember the girl that Barry was dating before him and Iris really got together?
The police officer?
Yeah, the police officer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now in the original comics, she was a speedster in the comics, but the catch to her abilities is that she had the potential to end up going so fast that she would kind of destroy the Earth in her wake. Oh. Yeah, so maybe they'll play on something like this with Iris's powers, and it'll just be an episode type deal, and they have to, like, it works to their advantage in the beginning, but then they have to figure out some kind of way to get rid of that speed because there's a threat behind it.
Yeah, we kind of talked about it before tonight. I think we talked about it last week, where, you know, my thought was I think you need to start leaving some people as human.
You're right.
You know what I mean? And I think she's one of those characters where she kind of needs to stay grounded. She kind of needs, because she's always been kind of that grounding force in Barry's life.
Right.
And I think she needs to be human to make more sense of that grounding force.
Yeah.
I would be okay if it's like an Iris from a different Earth, or even an Iris from the future, who is not, like, it's not a common theme that she's got these powers every week. You know, like kind of like you just said, like a one show and that's it kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really want to see it as kind of another Caitlin, where she's got Killer Frost, but it's kind of tucked away until she needs it, kind of thing.
When she hulks out.
When she hulks out, yeah, because we've already got that. You know what I mean? Like, don't. One of the things I think The Flash runs into, unfortunately, is they do get a little repetitive sometimes with things that they do, you know, i.e. five or six different speedsters, or, you know, some of the, like, or having people all of a sudden gaining powers, or, you know, having potentially having powers that are trapped away until you need them, kind of thing.
So. Yeah.
You know, I'm okay if it's a different Earth Iris or a future Iris, but the one that's there now, the one that's currently married to Barry, brand new marriage, you know, let's leave her human and leave her that grounding force in that sense. Let's not mess with that if we can avoid it.
Yeah, I definitely feel like she's a stronger character as a non-meta or non-super. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I kind of hope that this is short-lived. This kind of serves as a plot device for the episode, but. Yeah, I'd like Iris to stay the same, especially with the news that we're getting, like, Jesse Quick's not only returning back to the Legends, she'll be on Flash, and so will Jay Garrick, so we'll have more speedsters, and it's just like, you know, I know that Flash is, you know, a show about a speedster, but it can kind of get congested with too many speedsters.
I mean, it's already a little weird with, what's his name's girlfriend or wife, whatever they are now. Having mental powers. Joe's, I guess.
Oh, yeah, is
she,
yeah.
She a wife now? Did they get, I forget if they got remarried or if they're just together in the show.
I don't know if they got married yet. Yeah.
I know they moved in together. I know she's pregnant now. And now with her pregnancy, she somehow has the ability to read minds. That's just a little odd.
Yeah.
I know it's a plot device that they're using, you know, they're going to use somewhere down the line. Well, even more than they are now. But. You know, let's try to stay away from giving the muggles, as it were. Let's try to keep from giving them too many superhuman powers.
Yeah, man. So we'll see how that goes. But you know, I'm interested in this week. It's going to be some strong returns, so I'm looking forward to it.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's one of my favorite shows. So
yeah. So let's dive into some movie news. Don't have any game news today, so. Let's dive into some movie news. We got a first look at Samuel L. Jackson and Jesse T. Usher and Richard Roundtree coming back in Son of Shaft.
Now look. I love the first Shaft movie. It's a terrible movie, but I love it just because it's terrible. This picture is corny.
Oh, man.
It's corny. Like, I'm sorry. It's corny. I don't mind the red trench coat. Not on all three of them. All three wearing black shirts and black pants and the same shoes. Like, this is kind of corny.
Is that velvet?
Yeah, right. So I remember from the first one, Roundtree is his uncle, I think. It's supposed to be Samuel Jackson's uncle.
Right.
That's how they're both Shaft. And I think Usher's supposed to be his son in this one, clearly son of Shaft.
Yeah.
I just think the image is kind of, now of course, look, I'm still going to go see it when it comes
right.
out. Just because, look, it's Sam Jackson playing Shaft. You don't get any more fun than that when it comes right down to it.
Yeah.
You know, ever since the first movie, when he gets yelled at in court by a judge and he takes his badge and he throws it through the courtroom and it sticks in the wall behind the judge, like, oh, I mean, look, that sold me on being a Shaft fan. So it don't matter. I'll still go see it, but. Man, that picture is corny as hell.
Yeah. I gotta admit, it's kind of cheesy, but it's just like, yo, man, I'm definitely going to see this because Samuel L. Jackson's returning as the Shaft, and you gotta give props to the fact of how iconic his role was as Shaft. I mean, Shaft, his role as Shaft basically gave way to Nick Fury being modeled after Samuel L. Jackson.
It really did. It really did. Because Nick Fury became Shaft with an eye patch is really
pretty
all
much.
That it was.
Pretty much.
He took Sam Jackson out of the Shaft movie in the same exact outfit with a long black trench coat. You put him in an eye patch and some scars, and now he's Nick Fury.
Yep. So it's just like, you know, watching this type of, you know, film kind of influence comic books or, you know, geekdom, is just like pretty cool. So I'm definitely going to go and give Sam a look on Son of Shaft, because it's got to be cool. I like Jesse T. Usher. It depends on what movie he's in, but he's definitely a star on the rise. I could see him at least being like a Martin Lawrence or Will Smith-esque character, if you want to consider like Bad Boys. Like, okay, if they were ever considering a Bad Boys reboot, I could definitely see this guy taking one of those roles. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how this film rolls out. So,
oh, for sure.
Yeah. Damn, I wonder if Busta Rhymes going to come back.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. And Jeffrey Wright's character was offed at the end, right? Or was he jailed?
I want to say he was offed at the end, so I don't know that he'd be able to make the comeback.
Oh, man.
I don't remember. I haven't watched that in so long, but I'm pretty sure he was offed at the end.
Because that would be awesome if Jeffrey Wright came back to reprise that role, because I think he killed that. He killed that role.
He did.
Oh, man.
He was, oh, God, what was his name? Now I can't remember his name.
Oh, what was his name?
Because he was Hispanic,
all white. Yeah, I don't know. We'll figure it out. Maybe we'll talk about it on next week's episode. Because I definitely want to come back and talk about some Shaft. Maybe that'll be our special event for next week. We'll figure out how to make Shaft a better movie.
Oh my God! I have to go watch it. I have to go watch it now. I have to pull that out of my collection and go watch.
Yes.
Oh man.
Oh, man.
Because now I don't even know what his name was, dude.
Yeah. Oh, man. So let's go into some X-Men news. We got some interesting X-Men news coming out about Dark Phoenix. So there's a possibility that the Skrulls could be coming in X-Men Dark Phoenix, which is interesting because Marvel, you know, pretty much inked this deal with Fox, but they were already going to showcase the Skrulls in Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, and technically it's not so much ink as it is pencil at this point.
Yeah,
I can't imagine any world which is not going to go through. But like, you know, James Gunn was doing a video thing last night, and every time anybody would ask him, you know, what he thought about the merger, he would like, merger hasn't gone through yet. It still might not. You know what I mean? Like he didn't sound real positive. Not that he would necessarily know,
right?
But you know, he sounded kind of apprehensive that it might, but. I mean, look, I haven't been a fan of the X-Men movies of late anyway.
Yeah.
But this is a weird addition to me. Yeah. I don't remember the Skrulls ever being a real big X-Men alien villain.
No,
I know they were from time to time. The Shi'ar were the big. But the one that you could really, really do and really score big with is the Brood. The Brood is a long-time X-Men villain. They're a cool villain. They're definitely alien. You obviously own the rights to them because you own the X-Men rights. And it would be a lot cooler to see a Brood movie with the X-Men than the Skrulls with the X-Men, in my opinion. So,
yeah,
I think they're dropping the ball on this one. But, you know, it could potentially be one of those things where, like, we want to use these before Marvel does. So,
yeah. And the one thing that it could lead to, like, a lot of the rumor is that this is the way that they kind of bring the X-Men into the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
That could be true, sure.
Yeah, so, I mean, you got this character, you got this Smith character that's being played by Jessica Chastain, and she's said to be like a shapeshifter that's not of this world, like this other world shapeshifter. So she's going to be alien. At least that's what I'm hearing is the description for her character.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, we're getting this from another site, Manabyte site, and it's saying that this is a long time source that they are indeed going to be in the film, but it's really just conjecture at this point. We don't really know, but from what we're hearing from some of the cast is that there's a big plot twist at the end. So hopefully a lot of the theory has been this is how they're going to incorporate the X-Men in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and this is how they're going to explain the double what's the brother's name? The speedster that we all like.
Oh, Quicksilver.
Quicksilver. This is how they're going to explain the Quicksilver dilemma that they're going to be having in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Yeah, because, I mean, you still got to worry about Wanda, too. So you still got to worry about Scarlet Witch, because she's in the X-Men movies. At least, you know, she's referenced, or, you know, he talks to his little sister or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's clearly not done right, because they're supposed to be twins.
Right.
And the girl in the movie is clearly several years younger than he is. So
right.
I don't know how that would work. I also have to admit, I kind of hope that's not the case.
Yeah, because it just seems so messy.
Well, it seems messy, and I want to see them recast it, because I'm not a big fan of some of the actors they have now as far as X-Men go.
Yeah.
I don't like the kid who plays Cyclops. I mean, I like, what's her name, who's on Game of Thrones, Sophie Turner, I think her name is.
Yeah.
I like her okay on Game of Thrones. I'm not a big fan of hers as Jean Grey. So, I mean, I kind of hope they're not tying it in, but, you know, if they do somehow tie it in, then clearly it means this deal's probably going to go through.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm kind of torn on that thought there.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see how that goes. We'll let you guys know if we get any more items or news referring to this rumor, confirming or denying it. So we'll let you guys know with anything that we get. So next up, we got Melissa McCarthy and Tiffany Haddish coming together for DC's The Kitchen movie. And now, this film's supposed to be a mafia story set in the 1970s. It's based on a comic series that's under the DC's Vertigo title. And so it's going to be a story that has an FBI raid jailing mob leaders. And it, what it does is leaving their wives to take over the business, and they end up running it more ruthlessly than their husbands. So, yeah, it's supposed to be a story that they're going to get set to film. They got the start of the cast already cast in their roles. So, you know, it looks like it's going to be an interesting movie. Like, I'd be interested in checking it out. It seems like it's going to be like an anti-hero type movie. You know, mob stories. So
it's supposed to, oh, it does say comedic series. So.
Yeah,
I mean, the premise sounds interesting,
right?
I'm not a Melissa McCarthy fan, so I don't know that I would really. I don't find her as funny as other people do. Maybe I guess that's what it is. I just don't, I don't find her that funny. So I don't know if this is one I would go see, but the premise sounds interesting. So maybe.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I actually like Melissa McCarthy. I like Tiffany Haddish. I'm more interested in how the cast works together. How that, because if they're going in this same vein, then we're probably going to see two other comics fill the roles of the other mob wives, which will be interesting to see. So to see a group kind of like bounce off of one another, that way I'd be interested to see how that unfolds. But I've literally never heard anything about this franchise, this comic, until like just now. So
yeah, I know absolutely nothing about it.
Yeah, yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how that unfolds. Oh man! So we, you know, always got to bring it back to Wakanda.
I was just gonna say,
at least once in a while, you know, bring it back. But it looks like the Black Panther composer, he scored a 4-hour director's cut for the film. So they're originally, like, I guess Coogler had brought the movie down to like a 4-hour cut that he wanted. He shot and he got everything together so that they could edit it down to be whatever it needed to be. But the composer, since he has this relationship with Coogler, he's worked on Ryan Coogler's earlier films, like all the films that he's done. This guy has been the composer for all of those films. So he gets access to the film a little bit early because of their relationship. So he took the film that he had, the 4-hour, and he composed the musical track for it, for the whole film, for the 4 hours. So I'm hoping that what this means is that we will get a special edition director's cut of Black Panther when it does get released on DVD. So
4 hours would be a long movie. But,
and I would sit for you,
I know you would. I know you would. But, man, that's a long... Like, I've seen the 4-hour Lord of the Rings movies.
Right.
But wow, that's I don't see that technically really happening, but you never know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, never at least know, we guess. We're definitely going to get some deleted scenes.
Cause I was talking to my girl the other day, and we were talking about Felicia Rashad. She was originally cast in this movie. Like, we saw her cast in this movie, but we didn't see her anywhere in the theatrical release.
Right. So I actually didn't see her that she's cast.
Yeah. So I'd be interested to see if she's going to be in the deleted scenes. What I would assume was that she was going to be playing Killmonger's mom. And there's there's a chain of events there with her that kind of leads Killmonger to set on the path that he sets off on. Like, maybe her death is what sparks him to, like, really put this plan into fruition, you know? So who knows? But I definitely want to see more. I want to see more as far as deleted scenes, what was on the table and what didn't get included, what did get included, you know? So,
right.
Yeah. So, so hopefully, you know, we'll see. I would like a director's cut, but, you know, I'm just a fan, so.
I don't think fan is strong enough anymore.
Nah, yeah.
Nah.
I don't know. What do we call this? A zealot?
A zealot. I was just going to say that. Yes. I think zealot is probably the proper word at this point.
Wakandan zealot. Oh, I like that. That's nice. Okay. It's got a nice little ring to it.
Kind of does.
Oh, man. All right, so let's talk about some Star Wars news. We got some Star Wars news in the vein of Obi-Wan. There's a solo movie for Obi-Wan that's set to start filming in 2019. And I think they're doing it in Ireland. So, not you're not going for the Obi-Wan solo film?
I don't know. I mean, I'm just... Look, we love Star Wars movies. I do. But I'm starting to wonder if it's going to start getting a little too oversaturated with this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm in a minority, obviously, with that kind of thought. But, like, the solo trailer for me didn't really do anything for me because they don't really show you anything.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? Like, I know people love the fact that it's, you know, they show the Millennium Falcon when it's basically brand new and spotless, and they show, Donald Glover, you know, looking pretty suave as Lando, and that stuff's great and that stuff's cool, but there's no substance to the trailer for me. So my fear is that they're going to start running kind of thin on these because they're starting to put out so many of these. Now look, I'd love to see an Obi-Wan movie. I'd love to see how they're going to, you know, we've already kind of seen his origin story essentially, so I don't know where they're going to go with,
you know, right,
with that. You know, you don't really see how he winds up being part of the Jedi, but in the original movies, he's very, very young, you know, as you know, Master, and becomes Master Obi-Wan as the movies go on. So
yeah, because he's a Padawan, I think. Is he like a... No.
I'm pretty sure he is, or he's fresh out of being one.
Yeah.
In that first movie, so...
Yeah.
You know, I don't know exactly where they would go with this, but that's my only concern. That's why I kind of hesitate, because...
Yeah.
You know... The fear becomes, are you going to start really pressing these too thin? Because now you've got two other trilogies already planned. You've got one more movie in the original, whatever the word for nine movies is, you know, on the third trilogy for the originals, however you want to call it. Then you've got the trilogy for the Game of Thrones guys. Then you've got the trilogy for Rian Johnson.
Yeah.
Now you've got the Solo movie this year. Now you've got an Obi-Wan movie. They're still talking about a Boba Fett movie. They're still talking about a Yoda movie. You know, people talk all the time about how they're afraid the superhero movies are going to start running into people getting tired of them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe at some point they will, but at least, for the most part, the superhero movies are all mostly fresh content.
Right.
You know, it's not, it's yes, you have the conglomeration movies where you're having all the superheroes together, but for the most part, they're all individual hero movies. It's not three movies of everybody, then one solo movie, then three movies of everybody, and one solo movie. So, you know, when you reach the point where you've now got nine movies of all of the characters, things do start to get a little stale, I think. So
right, right.
I don't know. I mean, will I go see? Of course, obviously, I'll go see it. Star Wars movie. But I, you know, I do wonder if some of these characters that they're going to start doing these movies for are kind of unnecessary.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, my viewpoint on it is, and it's only because I've just recently started to get into the canon again. So I've been rewatching the movies, but now I want to get that supplemental information. So I've been, you know, reading the novels. I've been reading the comics. And I kind of have an idea of where they're going to go with this Obi-Wan movie. Now, there's a whole section, like Marvel's developed comics for Star Wars. And so I believe this Obi-Wan solo movie is going to be based entirely on the comics that are like the journal of Obi-Wan that basically Luke is reading throughout his adventures during 6 through... What is it? 4 through 6? Yeah, 4 through 6.
Right.
So he's like reading this journal of Ben Kenobi as he's like in between the ending of 3 and on to basically A New Hope. So we get this whole other side of Ben when he's this wanderer hermit type character. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see something like this, him dealing with, you know, the loss of Anakin, him trying to figure out what to do now as the Jedi are completely lost. You know, maybe we'll get some special guest appearances by some people and, you know, like Clone Wars or, you know, anything like that. So who knows? So it's like we're all in uncharted territory now. And since they're basing these stories a lot off of the canon that's already been established, we can get some interesting stories out of this. So, I mean, I'm game.
Yeah, game. I mean, I think I would be more interested, and obviously I don't know that they would do it because it's kind of rough to do a movie based around the bad guy, but I would be kind of more interested to see a Vader movie from when he becomes, you know, the armored Darth Vader up through... you know, Rogue One, I guess it would be.
Yeah.
You know, how he goes and how he basically eliminates every other Jedi in the galaxy. And,
yeah, yeah.
You know, how he's constantly upgrading his own armor as he's going through to make himself stronger and things like that. I think that would be a lot more interesting than an Obi-Wan movie, personally. But, you know, I don't know. You never know what they're going to do at this point.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if we get something like that coming up soon. Because, I mean, it would definitely be good. It would be a good story arc, and it's already been done. So it would just be a matter of adapting it to film. So,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see how that goes. But, all right. So let's jump back to some DC news. So, Joss Whedon, he's leaving Batgirl, saying that there's no script. There's no script worth, you know, there was no, you know, cohesive script, so he just left the team. And then basically literally the next day later, not even the next day, but Roxane Gay, who's like a pretty prolific I want to say nonfiction author, she put a Twitter post up and basically says, you know, I'll write the Batgirl script. I have a Batgirl script done for you. And somebody from the DC team says, if you're really serious about this, send me an email at such and such and such. So I'm like, oh, okay. If they get Roxane Gay, like anybody that knows me knows that I read all things Black Panther. So she's been working on the prequel comic for the latest edition of Black Panther, A Nation Under Our Feet. It's called World of Wakanda. And basically she's exploring the characters of Okoye and Ayo, and then basically the main villain that comes back in A Nation Under Our Feet. And she's exploring these characters and how the villain kind of like is pushed to those depths. And she watches Okoye and Ayo develop their relationship, their intimate relationship. And we watch these characters kind of grow. If she can this woman tells some good stories. So if they manage to get her at DC to write Batgirl, we could really get a solid DC movie centered around Batgirl. So, I mean, I'm down. So I kind of hope that they get her to pen this script.
It would be a good start. That's for sure. It strikes me as odd with Whedon just kind of bouncing out because he says there's no script. I mean, he's been attached to it for a while now.
For a while.
You would think that if there was no script that he would have noticed that by now.
Right.
So there's something strikes me a little odd about it. I
you know, can't help but feeling that Justice League had something to do with this. And I mean, you know, in all seriousness, because people did not like his treatment of Justice League. There's that huge push of, you know, release the Snyder cut that doesn't really exist. They keep telling these idiots.
Yeah.
So, you know, look, obviously he's going to be as PC as he can when he's out in public talking about, I'm just going to leave the movie because there's no script. I think there's probably more to it than that.
Right, right.
When it ultimately comes right down to it.
Yeah.
Plus, ultimately, you know, is the world screaming for a Batgirl movie? You know, it's not. And I don't mean that because it's a female superhero. I mean, because it's kind of a, you know, C-list superhero when it comes
right
down to it.
Right. Yeah.
You know, they haven't.
I'd rather see a solid Catwoman film. I'd rather see a Harley film.
How about we get a decent rebooted Batman movie before, you know, how about we get a Batman in place before we start jumping ahead to do a Batgirl movie? You know, you've got a guy who I like as Batman, but we don't even know if he's going to continue on as the character.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's looking, I mean? Looking less and less possible that we could see Ben. So
you haven't even established. You have nothing established. Let's call what it is. The DC Universe really has nothing established right now as far as where they're going in the future.
Right.
I was literally just looking at an article as we were talking that says the Nightwing movie everybody's so happy for may not be made for another 5 years.
Yikes.
You know, it's because the guy they've got assigned to it is doing a Dungeons & Dragons movie, which isn't coming out for the next 3 years. And he's saying they're going to have to fire me if they want me to leave Nightwing. Well, that means you won't be able to do the movie for 5 years. You know what I mean? So, like, there's no real solid slate of anything going on. You've got all these... They signed all these big-name actors. Like, they've had The Rock signed on to play Black Adam for at least 2 or 3 years now, and they've done nothing with him.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand. I get... Look, you sign him up so that Marvel doesn't get their hands on him and make use of him somewhere. Makes perfect sense.
Yeah, right.
But there's got to be a point in time where you go, hey, we got this guy. Maybe we should do something with it.
Right.
You haven't even done that yet. And now you're planning a Batgirl movie. You know, it's like, figure your universe out first. Stop planning all these movies without your universe even in a solid, without even a solid foundation yet.
Yeah, yeah. They're talking about shooting that Joker standalone next year. Ugh.
God, they really are the epitome of ready, fire, aim over there at the DC as far as the movies go.
I can imagine somebody's desk over in the DC camp with just tons of crap on it, just tons of papers sprawled out with no order to anything. Like, this is how we're going to shoot these films, guys. It works in my head, so we'll do it.
It just feels like they've got like a Wheel of Fortune wheel with the different superheroes on it, and they just spin it randomly every couple of days. Wherever it lands, we're going to make that movie next. You know, it's like you haven't established your Justice League yet. You've had the movie, yes. The movie wasn't very good, and it was all over the place. So you really have no solid foundation to build off of, because the movie didn't give you that. You know, the Avengers gave you a build-up to putting the team together. It gave you build-ups to those characters before the movie even came about. It had everybody together, and at the end of the movie, you've got someone... You know, you've got this whole scene where they're talking about how we've got a team that's ready for the future. The end of Justice League, it's three of them standing in the middle of a burned-down mansion going, and we'll put a table over there with 6 chairs. What the hell does that mean? It doesn't mean anything. Like, everybody who's watching it, who's a fan, knows what it means. But anybody who's watching it, who's seeing this stuff for the first time or the second time, is going, what the hell does that mean? You know, it just doesn't make sense the way they're putting this stuff together. It really is kind of just slapshod, you know, however you want to say it. It just, you know, stop planning all these 17 other movies until you've got your universe solidified and you know where you're going. Otherwise, they're just going to continue to fail. You know?
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't, I don't understand it.
Yeah, they really gotta just slow down. I mean, there's no way around it. Like, right now, you guys got, like, you're gonna have to take that hit. Just, you gotta lose out. Just take a chill for like a year or so. Reorganize. Get somebody over this entire development. And it's, and really, you know, I heard, all right, so I follow Kevin Grievous online. And if you guys know Kevin Grievous, he's the guy that he's co-wrote and starred in in the Underworld series. He did the I, Frankenstein series. He developed a character for Marvel called Blue Marvel. Like, he's a prolific comic book writer and comic book fan and aficionado. And, you know, he brought up some pretty solid points as to the main reason why DC hasn't been able to capture that lightning in a bottle like Marvel has. And it has a lot to do with the fact that there's too many there's too many cooks in the kitchen. You know what I'm saying? There's too many hands in the pots, so to speak. Like, he's saying, like, Marvel has Marvel Studios. Marvel Studios does all of the development for the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Like, Disney doesn't reach their hand into Marvel and say, hey, we want you to do these films like this, or hey, can we put this in? No, it's Marvel Studios. They run it. They take care of their business. Yep. And so DC has they work under WB. So with WB comes a lot of cooks that want to come in this kitchen and put their own ingredients in this dish, and it ends up tasting horribly. Like, what they have to do is they need to develop their own cinematic studio that focuses primarily on this DC project. And they need somebody to oversee it the way that Marvel has and have their hand in that process and develop these stories from start to finish. And that's the only way that they're going to do it. And the biggest thing that he said, they need to take a break.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
They need to take a step, back, and they need to reevaluate everything. You know, like, to use your analogy, yes, Marvel Studios stays out of the way, but Marvel Studios also has one main chef, and he's not a filmmaker. He's just a guy who oversees everything.
Yep.
Like, Kevin Feige's not a filmmaker.
Yep.
He's got, he doesn't know, I mean, I'm sure he knows the ins and outs, but he's never actually been one to make a movie. He's just been part of the process.
Right.
But he's still the guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's still the guy who's behind everything, who says no to this, yes to that, and otherwise leaves them alone.
Right.
DC doesn't have that. They tried to have Zack Snyder do it, but Snyder's a filmmaker, so he's going to insert himself in those situations to say, well, maybe you should do it like this, because that's how I would do it, kind of thing.
Right.
You know, he's not going to leave them. He wasn't going to be the one to leave them alone. I mean, he's gone anyway.
Right.
You know, so the one thing I heard from before that I think was the best explanation of everything is why Marvel works versus the DC ones is Marvel bases their movies on the stories, DC bases their movies on the characters, and right now their characters aren't that strong. So you're putting all your eggs in the basket of the characters being the one to push the movie, and the characters just aren't able to do it. You've got a Batman who, in the Batman vs. Superman movie, was good. In Justice League, he really wasn't, and you can kind of tell that he doesn't want to do it anymore. He just hasn't come out and flat out said, I don't want to do this anymore.
Right.
You know, so he's not very believable anymore. He's not as strong. And that's, of all the characters in your entire universe, the character you need to be the keystone solid foundation character is Batman.
Yeah.
And if he's not, it shows. You know, and then you've got, you know, you've got these other characters who right now, A, you don't know if they're all that strong because you haven't seen them in much of anything else. Yes, Wonder Woman is a strong character. The actress is a strong actress. That's your one rock right now, is the Wonder Woman character. But, you know, The Flash was odd, you know, in Justice League, and it wasn't very well developed, I didn't think.
Yeah.
Cyborg was underdeveloped. You know, he looks like he's got potential to be a great character, but you didn't really give him much of anything to do. You know, yet he's an integral character to the movie, which is even more bizarre.
Right.
You know, you've got Superman, who could potentially be very strong, and he just kind of was just, you know, for one, you can't even wait for the guy to finish his other movie, so you don't have to try to CGI out his freaking mustache. And he looks bizarre in the whole movie. It's just weird the way their things are all set up. So you know what? Slow down. Make your Man of Steel sequel. Make your Wonder Woman 2. Get your Aquaman going, if it's going to be any good, or Broseidon, as the one thing was called, which was hilarious.
Broseidon.
You know, maybe make a Cyborg movie, and or have Cyborg as part of the Flash movie or something before you go make Justice League 2.
Yeah.
You know, take Suicide Squad 2 and throw it out the window. You know, don't even come back to that until you've got a solid Justice League movie, or take that group and put them in the Justice League movie somehow.
Yeah.
You know, figure out how to do that. But stop making a bazillion and a half plans when you don't even have a solid foundation of movies yet. Yeah. And I think that's their big mistake right now.
Yeah, definitely.
And switch it. Switch it from character-based to script-based, and it'll be easier to sit through the movies.
Yeah, focus on telling the stories. Like, I'm telling you, the characters will do what they need to do in these stories. You just focus on telling a good story, and audiences will eat that up.
And the TV shows show that.
Yeah. It's like, we're really not paying money to come and see just, for all intents and purposes, action figures. That's right. That's what you're doing, is you're making these heroes action figures, and it's like, it's stale, it's stagnant, it's not working. So yeah, we'll see. Hopefully they'll reroute it, but I mean, it looks like they're still focusing on characters. They're still trying to market characters.
They're just throwing movies out there. Here comes Shazam, here comes Joker movie, here finally comes the Batman movie. Well, who's gonna be Batman? We don't know. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you don't even know who's going to be. Well, wait. Is this Joker movie part of the DCU? No. What?
Yeah.
No, it's going to be a standalone Joker movie by itself. Why would you do that? Well, people want to see a Joker movie. Yeah. They want to see a Joker movie that's part of the DC universe.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
It's like the moves that they're making are just so weird. And so you got this streaming service that they're working on now, too. And you know, they're working on Titans. And they're developing Titans, which sounds like it's going to be a solid show. They're working on Titans, but they're also working on another show. They got Krypton going on right now, about to air on Sci-Fi, but then they also have this show called Metropolis about to be aired on their streaming service. And it's like, so I'm like, okay, it's going to be called Metropolis. Okay, so we're going to be dealing with Superman. No, we're going to be dealing with a Metropolis before Superman even arrives. So it's like, what is the point? Like, I don't understand.
There is no point. There is no Metropolis without Superman. It's just, what are you going to just have a show where Lois Lane runs around and writes stories?
Like, yep, that's some people, what's happening. That's,
some people
that's
might enjoy that, but that doesn't, that's, then it's not a DC show. It's, right. It's a show about a reporter.
So, yeah. A lot of people argue, oh, well, Gotham's doing it. Gotham's doing it without Batman. And I mean, like, I just feel like the characters that they have on that show is what's holding that story up. You know what I'm saying? And you got cats like Penguin on that show, the Riddler on that show, and they're bringing back Jerome, I heard. So the guy that's been, you know, titled the Joker is going to be returning back to Gotham. So it's like they have strong characters, and we're following strong stories of those characters, which kind of works, you know what I'm saying? But I just don't see it happening for Metropolis. I don't.
But in Gotham, at least they're working with characters that fight crime. They're working with the Gotham Police Department.
Right, right.
Like, are you going to have Lois Lane fighting crime somehow? Like, that's never been anything she's ever done.
Nah.
It just doesn't make any sense.
Make any sense. So. Oh, DC, what you doing?
They don't even know.
Oh, well, let's round it out with some filming dates. Some filming dates are happening, coming up. I'll do it in chronological order. We got John Wick 3. They're going to start filming in April, man. So,
can't wait.
I'm excited. I thought they were just going right to the Netflix show. So we're getting a whole other movie.
Yeah.
So are they still doing the Netflix series, or are they just going to do straight up movies?
I believe they're going to do both. I think John Wick 3 is going to be the final movie.
Okay.
But he's supposed to be part of the TV show too. So.
Oh man, see,
that's what I've read.
You got me. I'm in there.
See. Plus, he's working on, and they're still putting things together. But he's signed on, I believe, for Bill and Ted's 3.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Look, those are two of my favorite movies of all time. So I cannot wait for the third Bill and Ted's movie. I know people are going to be like, it's too light, too much farther than this, too. It's going to be stupid. Well, I don't care. It's going to be Bill and Ted's 3. I'm in.
Watch this drone come out and be the most epic thing ever.
I'll be fantastic. It'll be fantastic. Just to see Keanu Reeves, who's basically mostly wanted to be a serious actor.
Right.
You know, in all of his last movies, to walking around going, dude. just I can't wait. I can't.
Yeah, it's gonna be hilarious. Oh man. And then we got X-Force. They're gonna start filming in the fall, And we have Ryan Reynolds and Josh Brolin. They're returning. So,
okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, if the X-Men universe is can say anything, the Deadpool franchise is what's making them stand right now.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So keeping it going with X-Force and still keeping, you know, Cable and Deadpool as the center, the cornerstone of that team. Yeah, you're gonna win. You're gonna win every time. So yeah,
you'll make out all right with those two.
Yeah. So yeah, man. So that's pretty much it for the movie news. We got some releases coming out this week. We'll talk about last week too, since we just did a spoiler review last week. So what came out last week was Movie Night and Annihilation. Movie Night starring Jason Bateman. It looks hilarious. It looks hilarious. Like, it's supposed to be like it seems like a whodunit type murder mystery, or it kind of develops into it. It develops right into some kind of thriller, comedic, like whodunit type of scenario. So I'm trying to see it at some point this week in between my viewings of Black Panther, obviously. And Annihilation is that the sci-fi movie that's starring Natalie Portman. It definitely has some alien vibes to it. So I'm interested to see how that story is and what's going to be, whether they're setting up for more stories to be told or if it's just going to be a one-off type deal.
Right.
This week, we got Red Sparrow and Death Wish. Red Sparrow starring Jennifer Lawrence. Where she's a Russian sleeper agent or something like that. It feels like Black Widow to me. Feels like Black Widow. But, you know.
Yeah, I'm not really a Jennifer Lawrence fan
to begin with. Yeah. Yeah, it's like the cast is solid. It's got some recognizable names, but it's just not pulling me to the theaters. And he got Death Wish, which is basically a reboot of, what is it, 1980s? 1980s action flick? Or 70s?
I want to say it was 70s. But I'm not,
yeah. Sure. Yeah, I think it was like late 70s. Yeah. With Charles Bronson. Yeah, yep. Man. The original hardcore man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, he was Liam Neeson before Liam Neeson.
He was. There's no doubt. He was.
Yeah. That's funny. But yeah, that's coming out this week. It's going to be starring Bruce Willis. Basically, you know, a father taking justice into his own hands. It's a play on the superhero genre that we're currently experiencing right now in the theaters, but it's focusing on what a regular man would do under the worst circumstances.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's a man pushed to the limit because he suffers a tremendous loss and the police aren't going to do anything about it.
Right.
Basically what it is, and he takes it all into his own hands.
Yeah, yeah. So that's interesting enough. It's Bruce Willis. You know, I'm going to be down for anything that he does. He's like, you know, Die Hard is like one of my favorite Christmas movies. Just put it out there. So yeah. So I'm definitely down to see what happens in Death Wish, man. So
yeah, I'll probably check that one out.
Yeah, yeah. So you know, to round out today's show, just want to bring it back to something that we've been talking about the past couple of weeks. You know, the Balls are trying to get back this year. So we're introducing the Extra Life fundraising campaign that we're doing. You know, Extra Life is a group that unites thousands of gamers around the world to play games in support of their local Children's Miracle Network Hospital. You know, since its inception in 2008, Extra Life has raised more than $40 million for sick and injured kids. And basically what it is, it's just a 24-hour fundraising and gaming marathon to support these Children's Miracle Network hospitals. So on game day this year, which is November 3rd, the boss's desk will join thousands of other gamers and dedicate an entire day to play games and get donations from friends just like you. So, you know, 100% of your donations are going to go to the local hospital that we're supporting. We're going to be supporting the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. and you know, help work with us, and together we can make a difference for sick kids in our area. Your donation is tax deductible, and it will make miracles happen for families who are in desperate need of them. And you can click the donate button at the bottom of this post. We have a button that you can press, and it'll take you right to a page where you can donate. You can do a regular payment if you want to do something regular for the year. If you want to just do a one-time payment, you can. We're not asking for a lot. You know, anything that you guys can give, we appreciate it. And it's, you know, you use the link below and you'll be able to make a safe and easy donation, without any worries about anything as far as like your security on the web. So, you know, help us out, help us do this positive thing as we try to give back to the community that's basically supporting us. And we just want to show love to the kids everywhere. 'Cause you know, Boss's Desk love the kids, you know what I'm saying?
Buddy.
Yeah, man. So we got the link at the bottom. Just check it out and give us a you know, a nice little donation. We appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's it for us here at the Boss's Desk. If you're tuning in for the first time, don't forget to follow us on all the various social media outlets. We're on Facebook, The Boss's Desk, on Twitter, at The Boss's Desk, and on YouTube, The Boss's Desk. We also have, you know, these pages on iTunes and Google Play where you can subscribe to our podcast and just follow us. You can get these new episodes updated, get the notifications on your cell phone, say, hey, Boss's Desk is new. Check us out.
You know? Keep up with us.
Yeah, man. Follow us because we have a good time here. And we're trying to do some new things, and, you know, we're hoping that you guys enjoy every little bit that we pour out. So, you know. If you have any questions about anything you heard on the show or any news that you want us to talk about on a future show, just send your questions or your comments on Twitter. You could just tweet at The Boss's Desk or send us an email at questions@thebossesdesk.com. And if we see your question and it's new and, you know, we want to share it online, we'll put it on a podcast and we'll share it with the world on the Geek News of the Week. So, yeah. So that's it. That's it for us here at the Boss's Desk, and we'll catch you next week, guys. We're out.
See ya.